Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA Meeting on Air. My name is Rachel and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in, and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey in recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off, we have Shona. Shona, would you like to share?
Thanks, Rachel. Hi, my name's Shona. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Shona.
And I came into AA in 1996 in July, and my life changed forever, actually, in the first meeting I ever went to, which was the O'Reilly Wednesday night meeting in Auckland. And I had no idea about Alcoholics Anonymous until I actually had a girlfriend who joined AA, and I watched her in 6 months sort of change her life around. And I tried to prove constantly that I wasn't an alcoholic. And then one day, you know, it's that weekend. Friday night was always my big night. I used to rub my hands gleefully together because I knew that I'd be on a bender. And out for a really good time. And I had a partner at home who was constantly always calling me a drunk, and I knew that he was going to leave me and that I then who would look after me. And pretty much I drank because I didn't know how to fit into this world, and I always felt really different, but I always had to keep up appearances and look really good. So that's quite an exhausting life to have, that drinking and looking good and holding down a job and a relationship, and you know, thank God for AA, actually. Yeah, very much so. So I had a big weekend, and it was just the usual, and how did I get home? Where's the car? Is Mike talking to me? And the hangovers got longer and worse, and I'd spend the whole time in bed till about 2 p.m. And so I rang this person and I said, I think I need to come to AA with you. And she said, yep, I go to Wednesday night O'Reilly. I'll give you a call on Wednesday and I'll pick you up if you want to come. And sure enough, she picked me up. You know, she rang me on that Wednesday and picked me up. And but the interesting thing about that journey is on the Sunday when I rang her, I knew my life was going to change forever if I walked into that room. And something really changed in those days between that Sunday and Wednesday. And I said, yeah, I'm going to come to that meeting with you. And I walked into that room. And, you know, it is those God moments and those doors open. And it's like, are you going to take this or not, Shona? And I took it, and there was a woman there who was celebrating 15 years of recovery. And there was another woman in the chair who became my sponsor. And she just said, welcome, dear, and listen to the similarities and not the differences. And I knew nothing about that room. And I heard a great saying the other day that someone in their first felt bewildered. And, you know, that's exactly how I felt on that first night. It's like, who are these people? You know, they're all laughing. There's something wrong with them, because I come from a family that you don't trust anyone, because I come from an alcoholic background. So we don't trust, and we don't trust kind people. That's definitely not on the cards. And so here were all these people who were being really nice and kind and saying, and, you know, here am I going, what do I do next? And they said, just go to another meeting. And really, that's it. I left that meeting on that Wednesday night, and I haven't had a drink since then, and it's 23 years later. And the road has been one of many, many challenges and many highs and many lows, and a lot of it has actually been about me growing up. And that's why I always drank, and that's why I always had partners, because I needed them to look after me, and I needed the drink so they could look after me. And it's been that real journey of that I've had to become really self-supporting in every way. And it's been a really incredible journey. I'm incredibly grateful that, you know, I've stuck around and kept doing this, and I got a good sponsor. I think that's really the key. I kept going to meetings, doing service, having a great home group and things like that, sticking with the winners and the grinners, and having that strong sponsorship and doing the program. And sometimes I don't want to do the program because I'm incredibly willful, but it's easier to actually do the program than not to do it. And I'm still very much part of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've had to find other avenues as well to deal with some things. I've had a huge journey with learning to read that big book and get to know it. And I've found within all of my recovery is that there's always been the people in place of what I need to hear and what I need to learn. And it's about, for me, has been about being really open-minded. I need to really practice that open-mindedness because I don't believe God gave me my sobriety to be closed-minded. So I've had to really look at those shades of grey and not that black and white thinking, which I'm really quite apt with. I've had to really learn to stay in that gratitude of love and kindness. I have a beautiful daughter thanks to this program that I learn from. I'm the one that has to learn from her. I've got a great partner in my life today. I've got a great job. I've got all of these great things, but my alcoholic mind can really step in and want to take it all away and sabotage it. So I have to be really mindful, and that's why I stick so close to this program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've got a great sponsor today who's same sort of age as me, which is good actually. It's good to have someone who's travelled this road pretty much a little bit more ahead of me. She's not afraid to call me on my stuff, which I think's quite a change for me, because I've always had an older sponsor who's been sort of a different figure to have, and to have someone who's quite side by side and like-minded has really challenged me. And it's been the last couple of years has been another big change and growth and learning, ego deflation at depth in some areas. I've had to really learn that I'm not running the show again, in all areas of my life, and that I'm just part of this universe. I'm not all of this universe. So, yeah, I have a really big loving God in my life today who I totally feel is all around me and in me, and that's a huge part of my recovery, is actually trusting God, cleaning house, helping others. I help others. I like helping others. Keeps me off me. I learn to pick up the phone. I do all of those things in my recovery today. Doesn't mean that it goes smoothly, let me assure you. It's still life, but, God gave me this gift. I took that opportunity in that first meeting. I knew I'd come home. That was the biggest thing. And I knew those people in those rooms knew me. And I knew that that's where I belonged. So it's good to have my own tribe. I've never really been in a tribe. So I'm really grateful for that, and thank you, Rachel, for asking me to share today.
Thanks, Shana.
Thanks, Shana.
You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person to share is David.
Hi, my name is David. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, David. Hi, David.
It's funny, it took me a little while to say that, not because I didn't think I was an alcoholic, but it was a new vocabulary for me. I came into AA as a very much an innocent in so many ways. I remember a few years before I became sober, I talked to a doctor and said, in the understatement of the year, that I thought I might have a drinking problem. And he asked me if I had blackouts, and I said, what's a blackout? And I mean, honestly, that was how I started out. So when I attended my first ever AA meeting, it was a process of learning, and now I'm quite open in saying that I'm an alcoholic, and I have gained a little bit of understanding about what an alcoholic is. So for me to say that I'm an alcoholic means that I have an abnormal reaction to alcohol. And I also have an obsession with alcohol when I'm not drinking it. The abnormal reaction means I had very little control over how much I drank once I'd had a drink. I'd start out with the very best intentions of having just the one or two that we always talk about, and suddenly find myself passed out next day and probably in trouble for something that I hadn't done or had done. It took a little while to understand the mechanism that went behind that, because I felt that I should be able to control my drinking. And I certainly tried. Our book talks about the various means we use to control our drinking, and I tried every one of those things, I think. Switching from wine to beer, or vice versa, or to spirits, and only drinking at certain times and using different sized glasses. And it seems comical looking back on it now, but I was utterly convinced that I had the ability to control my drinking. And I didn't realise what this disease was, and that I needed help from outside of myself if I was going to achieve that. So as well as learning what an alcoholic was, I had to learn progressively what was going to happen in my life. So I originally went to see a professional in the hope that I would be able to control my drinking and behave like ordinary people with alcohol. And I found that because of that abnormal reaction to alcohol, that wasn't going to be the case for me, and abstinence was the answer. And I was sufficiently beaten up by alcohol after so many years of drinking that I was prepared to accept that without much argument. Although I can remember that it was a bit of a mental obstacle to think that this is it forever. And it was one of those little turning points. And then it became that I wasn't going to be controlling my alcohol or stopping drinking. I was going to get help to stop doing that. And where that was going to come from was a bit of a stumbling block too, because I had grown up with an awful lot of religion but very little spirituality. And when I saw the word God, I did the usual reaction and thought, I don't want a part of that. But it's been a progressive thing. I liken it to when I first came to AA, I used my GPS in my car to go everywhere. I mean, even places I was quite familiar with, meetings I attended, I would go to 2-3 times a week in the same venue. I'd still use the GPS to drive me there. And I had a total dependence on that device for some reason. I still can't really explain it. But somehow that satellite in the sky was to be trusted better than my own viewpoint from in the car. And that satellite in the sky would know, Mr. Google would tell me when there was a traffic accident and there was a hold-up somewhere, and I could avoid that and go around it. And that's how I've come to view my higher power within my recovery, is that some force that's greater than me, that knows more than I do, most importantly, and has, you know, as a satellite's up in the air, it has a certain perspective from height that I haven't got. And so with the use of my higher power, with the use of my sponsor, with the use of the very experienced people in my home group, I get a better perspective that I just simply haven't got by myself. And so that's been a really great learning thing. And I've learned that instead of just trying to control my drinking and stop my drinking, my goal has been to be happy not drinking, which was another step again. And it was quite a big step, but I came to those meetings, and the very first meeting, I think the thing that struck me was how revoltingly cheerful everybody was. I expected everyone to be very sad sack and in the grips of a horrible disease. But in fact, these people had found a way to live really meaningful lives. I mean, I seriously threatened my continued physical existence with alcohol. And the goal became not to just keep alive, but to keep alive in a life that could be useful and enjoyable. I had to admit that I was vulnerable in certain ways. I had put up in my drinking days a lot of mental and verbal defences, trying to pretend that I was in control of my life and of the people around me. And I've had to learn that I actually have very little control over what happens around me. I have no control over alcohol, that's for sure. And so if I accept direction from outside of myself, I usually seem to do an awful lot better than I had done before. And as far as God goes, well, I learnt that I didn't have to understand God. I just needed to have a God that would understand me. And that's the way it's worked out for me. I don't claim to get voices from heaven speaking directly to me. But somehow when I open up that big book, I see things that I never saw before. I sometimes feel I've changed the text while I wasn't looking, but I seem to find the things that I need to know when I need to know them. And that can be from another person sharing at the meeting as well, or just a seemingly random question from my sponsor about how things are going. And I get, just as I had with that GPS in the car, I get an input from a different perspective that helps to guide me in keeping a sober way of life. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last person to share this morning is Brian.
Thanks, Rachel. My name's Brian and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Brian.
My sobriety date is the 4th of March 1992, for which I'm very grateful. I've really appreciated the sharing so far because I can relate to it all, to Shona and David. My journey in recovery has been varied. Basically, I had to get to my rock bottom. So pain's involved, which I don't like, but that was a part of it. I was married, and due to my behaviour while drinking and other things, that dissolved. That's actually what drove me into Alcoholics Anonymous, hoping that for some reason I might be able to get back into my marriage and make everything right again after all the promises I've made that I'll never do this and I'll never do that. And when I make these promises, I was quite sincere. But once I start drinking, it's like all sincerity goes out the door, all promises are like wash water, and I just carry on. But this time, my wife, she'd had enough. And I suppose in some respects I'd had enough too. And it was through circumstances, as I saw it then, that I was guided through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, because I certainly didn't wake up one morning and thought, you know what, my life's in chaos, I'll go to AA. And I'm sure some people are able to do that, but for me it wasn't. I was guided through interventions through other people, and I think that's how this works too. People seem to be put before me, and I get opportunities to either take those opportunities or just pass them by. I got sober in Australia, a little country town called Childers, and I was guided. You know, it's really hard to put into place or describe how this all comes about, but it does. And I made that call to Alcoholics Anonymous. I got this lady, and I was living in a pub at that stage. Great place for an alcoholic to live, trying to get sober. But this guy came and saw me. Like, he 12-stepped me, as I've come to know it today. At that time, a guy just came and saw me. But what he did, he shared with me what had happened to him. And the funny thing about this is that this guy I used to see laid out in a park each time I went to work. And the way my alcoholism works within me is like I can't let people see my emotions or feelings. So I have to push them away. And the way I do that is I pull people down, because if I feel inferior, to build me up. And here was this guy laid out in the park, and as we drove by to work, we would make fun of him. And he was there for quite some time, and then all of a sudden he just disappeared. And from what I can gather, he sobered up and went to a detox. And here he was, fresh-faced, and sharing his story. And he said that I wanted to go to a meeting. And what came out of my mouth was, what wasn't in my head. What was in my head was, no thanks very much, see you around. But what came out was like, yeah, sure. And so he ended up taking me to this meeting on one night on a Thursday, and before I got there, before I met these people, I could hear them, and they were laughing, and there was a smell of smoke and coffee, and I can assure you I wasn't smiling or laughing when I got there. Like, my head was down. I couldn't really look these people in the eye. I suppose it's that sense of shame within me. And they invited me in, like, you know, like I heard today, where people were, they put their hand out and said hello and made me very welcome, very welcome. And it's like, well, how much is this going to cost? So I went inside and I listened to these people share, as we're doing today. And they share their stories, you know, men and women. Because it's a fellowship, you know, it's a fellowship of men and women. And I relate to both. And at the end, they were going around this table and they were saying they were alcoholic and my name's so-and-so and I'm alcoholic. And I thought, oh, I'm going to have to say this. And I'm a people pleaser. So by the time it got around to me, it's like, oh, I'm Brian, I'm an alcoholic. But I didn't really believe it. I was just saying the words. But I've come to believe that I'm an alcoholic. And I'm thankful for that. I think that's a big hurdle to get over. It's easy to say, but it's harder to know it or to believe it. But once you can believe it, you can do something about it. And I was given the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it was suggested I read it. They said to me, "Don't read it in the first night, because it's quite thick." And I started reading it, and it was okay. There were parts that I didn't understand, and I suppose this is why you need, like, I end up getting a sponsor. These are words I didn't know anything about, like sponsors, steps, traditions, but I've come to understand them and what they're there, because, you know, it's a three-sided triangle of recovery, unity and service. And the first part is the recovery, which is the steps. And I was taken through the steps with this guy who became my sponsor. He actually said to me, he said, you know, I can leave these rooms and never need drink again. And I really couldn't believe that. So I found it really hard just to stay sober at all. Or just not drink anyway. But that first night, I haven't needed to pick up a drink since that first night. And to me, that's a miracle within itself. And I started doing these things that were suggested to me, because they say you can tell an alcoholic anything, but you can't tell them much. And basically, that's it with me too. It's like I'm a know-all, and really, I know nothing. And the more I know, the less I know. So I've become quite a sponge as such to this disease and reading about Alcoholics Anonymous. It starts... How it all came about, and I'm so grateful for those early members of Alcoholics Anonymous, because if it wasn't for them, I don't think I'd be alive today. You know, they showed me a way out of this turmoil, really, and in doing so, it's like I've been given this life greater than I've ever expected. Like, it's allowed me to travel. I've been overseas. See, part of my alcoholism is that I'm always gonna do this and I'm gonna do that, and I never do a damn thing, you know. Alcoholics Anonymous said you can do anything, just don't drink. And it was like, really? See, I didn't have that freedom before, because alcohol, once I pour alcohol into me, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And I have great intentions to do lots of things. But I find that once I start drinking, all those good intentions go out the door, and sometimes my behaviour goes out the door as well. You know, I like to think of myself as a good guy, but when I drink, I become very antisocial, and that's not the intention that I went out with. You know, I go out to have a couple of drinks, and those couple of drinks just turn into chaos. I embarrass myself, I embarrass the people around me, and I assure you I embarrass my wife many times. And that's, I think that's the way alcoholism is. It's like, I still suffer from alcoholism, even though I don't drink today. And if I just had a drinking problem, I think I'd just stop drinking and life would be great. But I suffer from this disease called alcoholism. So once I get rid of the alcohol, I have to deal with my ism. And that's the mental side of it. It's like I always talk about, you know, what goes in my head, because that's where it all happens. I think in the big book it says that the main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body. And boy, I can relate to that. It's like when I say, I've been thinking, look out, because... And that's the best part of having a sponsor, because I can share my thoughts with my sponsor. And sometimes he laughs and sometimes he says, you know, we can talk things out. And that's new to me too, talking things out with another human being. Talking personal things out, I talk things out with my sponsor. Because my secrets keep me sick, and I've been sick for some time, you know. And I heard it this morning in respects to growing up. I was always told to grow up, and I didn't like that, but how true it is, you know. It's like I was told also that when I took my first drink, and I think it was early in my like young years, you had that shandy, the beer and the lemonade. But I had my first drunk at 17, and I came into the fellowship at 35, but yet I still had the emotions of that 17-year-old. And it's not good, a 17-year-old in a 35-year-old body, you know, trying to be a father, trying to be responsible and having no idea how to do it. So I'm slowly growing up, which is great. I heard it again today, the benefits of alcohol, of being sober far outweigh those of one of my drinking days. I've been blessed. I too have a great partner and great job, and I look forward to life each morning, you know. I wake up, I don't come to anymore, and that's an experience. I've not really much more to say, Rachel, so I'll leave it there. Thanks very much for allowing me to share.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Brian. That brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you've been listening and identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists, there's a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the country. You can also phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. We'll be back here next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.